Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Well, let's start off this week's podcast talking about the Labor Department strikes again. The government claimed that there were 275,000 net new jobs created in February. Congratulations. What an accomplishment. Another bang-up number from the BLS. What a nice headline for the administration. Of course, they revised lower the jobs created in December and January by a whopping 168,000 jobs, but nobody really cares about revisions. It's the headline-grabbing 275,000 net new jobs created that causes all the stir, and all the monkeys that run Wall Street are saying, oh, look, another bang-up number from the Labor Department. This is a strong economy. Now, the government continues to hire like mad. It created 52,000 jobs in February. And if that's the kind of way you grow an economy, by hiring government workers, then, you know, good luck with that. But the private sector is not doing so well, and the private data disagrees. The labor market research firm Challenger Gray & Christmas stated that the February layoff announcements were at the highest level of any February since 2009. And yet, the Department of Labor says things are gangbusters. The Institute for Supply Management survey for both the service and manufacturing sectors of the economy showed that jobs were contracting during February, not creating 275,000 jobs, shedding jobs. And the household survey showed that 184,000 jobs were lost in February. So once you know the other facts beneath the headline, you could see that the labor market is indeed not going to deteriorate, in the process of deterioration. Now, for those still hoping for 6 rate cuts this year, or maybe now it's down to 3, due to inflation crashing towards 2%, you will be a bit disappointed by yesterday's CPI data. Core CPI was up 3.8% year over year in February. And that was falling just 0.1% from January's level of 3.9%. So yes, this is technically disinflation, but it's a whole heck of a long way away from 2%. The reported rate of core inflation, which the Fed cares more about than the headline figure, was 0.1 percentage point hotter than predicted. The month-over-month figure was a hotter 0.4% month-over-month, and up 3.2% year over year. Now, I think you could still get your 6 rate cuts. Maybe not just 3, maybe you'll get 6 in 2024. Maybe. But it will not be because inflation is dead and buried. That's probably not going to happen. It's more likely to happen because economic growth crashes. From the 4.9% seasonally adjusted annual rate in Q3 of last year and 3.2% in Q4 of last year to near 0%, 1% or below, in Q2 and Q3 of this year. So we are now in sector two, or more accurately, we were in sector two, disinflation. We're kind of, you know, for most of last year, that's where we were. We're kind of now more in sector three in my 5-sector model that ranges between deflation and recession and hyperinflation. Sector three is more stasis, where you see the rate of inflation is really not going anywhere. I mean, it could be rising at 3%. It could be rising at 10%. But the change month over month is the same. So we were 3.9% last month in January, now we're 3.8%. It's pretty much a stasis. And that's where we remain for right now. But however, I believe the next phase of that macroeconomic model, the inflation, deflation, and economic cycle, will be a return to sector two, or maybe even perhaps sector one. Now, why do I say that? Well, this is because the Bank Term Funding Program has now finally, thank God, amen, over and done with. No longer will the Fed be telling banks, hey, you know all your bad assets you have? Send them to me. I'll give you full credit, full cash for their value. I don't care what they are. And you can go play around with that money for a year. Banks will now have to hold on. From March 11th on, until further notice, banks will have to hold on to their withering mortgage-backed securities, commercial mortgage-backed securities, government debt, corporate debt, credit card debt, auto loans, collateralized loan obligations, and private credit debt. It's yours. Keep it. It should be at least a very slow process of deterioration at best, but the process of significantly increasing bank stress is now underway, and it could be faster than a slow deterioration. I'm watching it closely. And my opinion that the banks are under a lot of duress and stress isn't just a random opinion that I concocted, a figment of my imagination. I mean, after all, there is a reason why the regional banking index is down 40% in the last 2 years, and that is inclusive of the duration of time that the Bank Term Funding Program was in effect, down 40%. So what's going to happen when banks say, you know, hey, please, Fed, take these withering assets off my balance sheet, and the Fed says, no, I ended that program. I know we're morons. We're not that much of a moron. We're not that moronic that we're going to change our mind in a week. So they're yours. Then in the next few months, the reverse repo facility will be sufficiently drained. I don't know if it goes down to zero, maybe $100 or $200 billion. That would be a level that I think would be sufficiently drained. And then the bank, and this is what that means, the bank and the money market funds, superfluous money that has been pouring into the stock and bond market, you know, $2 trillion worth since early 2023, that goes away. The facility is now down to $450 billion. So we have a couple of $100 billion left. And then all of that liquidity that has been offsetting QT, that has been keeping the bond market afloat, that has been keeping the gamblers in Bitcoin and these non-fungible tokens, which are electronic pictures of monkeys going for $500,000. It's just gambling run amok. That ends. It's over with. So in the meantime, we should continue to have a balanced portfolio of stocks and bonds, gold, emerging market stocks, no shorts yet, but with a keen eye out for financial conditions to tighten and credit spreads to widen. Hasn't happened yet. There's some very nascent signs of financial conditions at least stopping to loosen, which is the precursor for them tightening, so I'm watching that. And let me go over some, you know, people say, well, there is no recession coming, Mr. Pento. The recession has been canceled, soft landing, blah, blah, blah. Let me give you just several recession indicators to disabuse you of that notion. The manufacturing sector of the economy has contracted for past 16 months in a row. The index of leading economic indicators has declined for 23 months in a row. The National Federation of Independent Small Business Optimism Index has 26 months below the 50-year average of 98. The household survey for non-farm payroll job shows losses in the past 3 months. The U6 unemployment rate increased to 7%. The 10-year note minus the 2-year note yield spread has been inverted for 20 months, one more month, and it will be the longest inversion in history. And you should not ignore that near-perfect recession predictor since 1955, with one exception, 1965, there was no recession, but the GDP fell from 10% to 0.2%. So every single year it's been accurate since 1955. One exception, 1965. No recession there, but the GDP plunged from 10% almost to zero. Personal and corporate bankruptcies are up 19 months in a row. Real gross domestic income, which is the opposite look at GDP, down year over year. Down. Bank lending contracting, money supply growth contracting. And we have consumer confidence, durable goods, retail sales, housing starts, industrial production. Have all that data has disappointed this year. So yes, maybe you should be a little more cautious in dismissing the recession. We will stay vigilant, and so should you.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.